You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
I forgot to turn on my sound. Here we go.
Hello. I've waited here for you ever long.
Wait a minute. I fucked it up again. I don't know anything, man. I'm the drummer in the band.
That was fan effing tastic. Out of sight.
You know what that song that is?
I have no idea.
That's Gramidator from Catheter.
No doubt. Can I ask you a question?
What?
Are you baked?
No.
By any chance?
No.
You're not?
No. I'm all good, man.
So there's no excuse for this?
No.
None?
None.
Whatsoever?
I'm totally fine. What?
Nothing. Nothing. This is great.
Let me get some tune.
Because you know, John, we are a band.
That's right.
Of which you are the drummer of that band.
Wait, how do you do AC/DC? How's it go?
I don't know. I would think it would be great if we tried to figure that out, though, right now.
Oh, that's pretty awesome, isn't it?
No doubt, Yngwie.
It's great radio, ain't it?
It's great, man. That's hot.
I think I could do some... Creeping Death.
Okay.
No, I can't. I'm sorry. Oops, there it goes here. No, that's not it.
That's okay. We have 30 more minutes for you to figure it out.
That's not it either.
Out of sight.
I told you I was working on a theme song.
Right.
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. What do you think of that?
I think that's totally gay.
All right.
But maybe it wouldn't be if you had some harmonies.
Oh.
Say Total Talk Nonsense. Like if we could get Scott. Andy Dick to do it. Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. That's hot.
That's hot, motherfuckers.
no doubt.
We're better than that chimp, though. We can write a song.
That's right. On air. We can do that, too.
F and A.
Well, Johnny, are you ready for some science news?
Yeah. You know, I didn't take a leak at that last. I might have to do one right now just so I could pay you back for last time.
All right. I'm ready.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, in science news, John, fear can be genetically controlled. Scientists made mice bolder by disabling a gene that helps bad memories trigger unconscious fear.
Really?
There's an upside, John. Because unconscious fear operates similarly among mammals, we could devise a drug to block the gene in humans, thereby relieving anxiety or post-traumatic stress.
Jamie, please.
Of course, Tom Cruise in Scientology would not believe in this crap.
No.
The downside, John, is that nature gives us unconscious fear to keep us from repeating risky behavior. Lose the gene and you could lose your life.
Go back to the schoolyard.
Other stories in science, John?
Excuse me.
Yep.
Regenerative.
No problem.
How's you called?
Regenerative.
How are you going to know?
Regenerative cell technology is turning
into a lucrative target. I'm just trying to help you out, man, because I know you're going to hurt the positive sound.
Balding. One company is testing hair cloning, which follicle-producing cells from non-balding parts of your head are cultured in a lab dish. Okay, I'm going to do my Todd Rundgren imitation. Grown in large numbers and injected into balding areas of your scalp, the concept showed promise in a tiny initial sample of men.
You can have to talk a little louder.
Next story, John. The study indicates that oral sex can lead to mouth cancer. Swedish researchers found that 36% of mouth cancer patients...
Fuck face!
But only 1% of the control group carried the human papillomavirus, which can be acquired through oral sex. You should avoid having oral sex, John.
Thank you.
And get this, John.
Oh, fuck.
Never go to India, okay? Never.
Why is that?
I'm going to tell you why. Because a woman's eye was eaten alive by ants at a hospital in India. The diabetic patient checked in with high blood pressure after a cardiac operation and lapsed into a coma. Her family found her with ants crawling on her face. The hospital superintendent says ants like to bite diabetics because of their high blood sugar. At another Indian hospital, rats chewed off a patient's fingertip.
Oh.
Okay, so you don't want to go to India because you may sprain an ankle for whatever. You may get syphilis, whatever. You got to go to the hospital.
You may get syphilis?
Yeah, syphilis. You go to the hospital.
I know syphilis.
And pretty soon.
What's her last name?
Ants are eating your genitals.
Syphilis May?
Interestingly enough, John, I printed this out and my wife added some comments. So my wife took the time to read this and she added some comments. In the book, Love in the Driest Season, the author describes cases where abandoned infants are swarmed by ants. But this is in Africa, John, not in India. Those who survive have severe bites and are often missing pieces of eyes, nose, etc., etc. So the lovely wife contributing to TTN Total Talk Nonsense.
Is it etc. or etc.?
It's just the etc. I added the other one.
Is there an X in et cetera? I thought it was et cetera.
Et whatever, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm just, you know.
Cocksucker. All right, John.
Fuck face.
Other news in science. Have you ever wondered why a guy's eye wanders?
No.
Do you know what that means?
Fuck you!
No, I'm sorry.
That means when you're out with your wife for dinner, very romantic dinner, and a hot chick with cleavage walks by,
cock push-ups?
You look at her and your eye wanders.
See? It's fucking simple.
But science, again, has come to the rescue. Science.
Really?
Yes.
Scientology?
Real science. A new study suggests that we're biologically compelled to stare at sexy and powerful women.
Absolutely.
Researchers at Duke monitored eye movements of male rhesus monkeys. I believe they started with George W.
Yeah.
As they looked at photographs of their fellow primates, when monkeys fixed a gaze on an image, he was rewarded with a squirt of fruit juice. What they found, I think that's what we should do with the W, reward them with squirts of fruit juice. You think that Karl Rove has caught on to that yet?
Oh, I'm sure. That's what he gets rewarded with. Give him a couple squirts and...
What they found, the monkeys were drawn to the power, power and sex, choosing to look at faces of alpha monkeys of both sexes. Oh, so they're kind of bisexual.
Get a job, you bum!
And the hindquarters of potential female mates. The sight of a female monkey's rear end signals they're sexually available. They showed this preference even though they were given more juice to entice them to look at low-ranking, less attractive monkeys. So even with fruit squirt injections, they still could not help themselves by looking at the powerful, sexy alpha monkeys.
Right.
According to a doctor, Robert Diener, humans, like our simian cousins, like the W, are probably hardwired to act this way. In both human and rhesus monkey societies, individuals vary in their influence of reproductive potential.
No.
So for both humans and rhesus monkeys, or the W, selection would have favored individuals that valued information accordingly.
Thanks.
In other words, evolutionarily speaking, it pays to pay attention to who's most powerful and who's the most eager to mate, John.
I don't know.
Again, I have a comment from my wife here on this article. She says, oh, please, if he can't be discreet, then he should just hang out with the guys.
You piece of shit!
And right, there you have it.
Right. Usually when I'm out with my wife, I tell her.
I've been doing cock push-ups.
Yeah. And she says, what?
Cock push-ups?
Yeah. I say, well, basically.
It's where you fucking lay down flat on the ground, and then you let your boner lift you up off the ground.
See? It's fucking simple.
All right. So, I don't know.
That's hot.
What's the deal?
Hey, man, you got some pot stories over there? Stories about pot, the Mary Jane, the marijuana?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Here, I got something. Pit bulls to be tested for marijuana. Toxicology tests are being done on the bodies of three pit bulls shot after they mauled two children and four adults to determine if the dogs ingested marijuana found inside their owner's home, authorities said Tuesday. Wait a minute. Let me read that again.
I got it.
So they're testing them for the weed.
Right. They're testing the dogs for the weed.
So,
for the
okay, the dog's owner, Scott Sword.
Sword. Sword fight.
Sword. 41 of the 6,600 block of Hawthorne.
Why don't you just start over there?
Okay. The dog's owner, Scott Sword. Or do you say sword?
Sword. I say sword.
But wait, it just sounds funny. Sword. 41 of the 6,600 block of Hawthorne Drive near Cary has been charged with felony possession of marijuana and misdemeanor production of marijuana plants, said McHenry County Sheriff Keith Nygren. On November 5th, police handling the dog attack found five harvested marijuana plants growing in Sword's backyard garden and more than 30 grams of marijuana in his home, Nygren said. My PC keeps turning off, man. It's my guiding light. The dogs, which were killed by police, were sent to a veterinary laboratory at the University of Wisconsin-Madison where they were being tested for drugs, specifically marijuana. It says here, if the dogs ate marijuana, police want to know if it may have contributed to the vicious behavior. Quote, dogs usually don't show aggression if they ingest marijuana, but this is a substance that could potentially have that effect, said McKenavanovic, a veterinarian. I personally think the dog's behavior has nothing to do with marijuana, and a toxicology lab will eliminate that.
Well, and I couldn't agree with more with Dr. McKenavanovic, because you and I, John, know that the pot calms you down.
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry.
So it couldn't be the pot, man.
It's not the weed.
I guarantee they didn't ingest pot, because no. If they ingested pot, they'd be like eating popcorn and
yeah, they'd be
barbecue
eating fries,
chips,
barbecue.
Sleeping.
Man, you got any barbecue chips? That's my imitation of you. Sorry.
All right.
My impression of.
Are there any other marijuana stories, Mary Jane?
Well, they said at the end here, they say Van Cavage said 70% of dog bite cases nationwide come from dogs that have not been spayed or neutered. We're posing, it's a different guy. Okay, so I got to do a different voice, right? We're proposing that any type, we're proposing that any time an unaltered dog is allowed to run at large knowingly, and it causes serious physical injury, it could be a felony, Van Cavage said.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
Get your dog fixed, all right?
Yeah.
You cocksuckers.
Don't let him run around.
Unless you're going to breed
biting people.
No doubt.
This one here, marijuana's active ingredient kills leukemia cells. Here we go. Again, another useful reason to use the weed. The new drug study group in London discovered that THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, works to kill leukemia cells by affecting the gene MKP3, which may serve as a critical target for new drugs that are less psychoactive and less controversial, Scott. That's what it says. While leukemia treatment is largely successful, some patients cannot be treated with conventional therapy. 25% of children fail treatment, leaving them with a poor prognosis outcome. That's what it says here, Scott. Scott, scientists have previously reported that THC has anti-cancer properties, so its use as an anti-leukemia drug may be promising. However, the psychoactive side effects, as well as its current legal status, complicate its use in cancer chemotherapy.
What are psychoactive side effects?
That you're getting high. Woo!
Yeah, and you're just relaxing, right?
I just stubbed my fucking
toe. They should be called psycho-relaxing side effects.
Yeah, psycho-relaxing. There you go.
Plus the munchies, you know, you got to deal with that.
Yeah.
But, John, every week a story comes out about the benefits of marijuana.
I know.
Every week.
Yep.
Marijuana has benefits. Week. But no, it's still illegal here and pretty much all over the world, except for Amsterdam and now in Denver, you can carry an ounce of the Mary Jane.
So Liu, this, I guess, scientist, and his team have begun to uncover the mechanism by which THC kills those cells and potentially promotes long-term survival. This is a critical first step towards the much-needed development of new therapies that can eradicate this deadly disease of affecting millions of children and adults worldwide.
No doubt.
So once again,
the Mary Jane comes through.
That's right. And we're not potheads or anything, you know. I mean, it's just...
Are you a pothead, Falker?
It's just, you know, common sense. If something works... to help you out.
Use it,
right.
We're not suggesting you smoke pot and do a podcast. That would be
irresponsible.
Irresponsible, yeah, to totally. Your audience, to your fans.
Cool.
Totally unnecessary.
Well, John, have you heard of a new hand gesture making...
Hand job?
A hand gesture. You're familiar with the finger, right?
Yeah.
The old finger that the George W. gives us on our website, if you go to Mr. Schmooley's page, the finger, That's where the middle finger stands
right,
up and all that.
Right.
Have you ever heard of the shocker?
No.
The shocker represents a certain type of sexual manipulation of a woman, John. This is from Wikipedia. The shocker is a hand gesture with a sexual connotation that has become popularized in many high schools and colleges throughout the United States. And this other woman chimes in. I'm sure you're interested in the shocker, John.
Did you say mother woman?
This mother woman chimes in. Rebecca Mead of The New Yorker. She says another type of contemporary college humor is the hand gesture known as the shocker, in which the ring finger, now follow me here, John.
I'm following.
The ring finger of the hand is held down by the thumb. Okay, hold that down. It's not the index finger, it's the ring finger.
All right, I'm holding it down.
Okay, just like you're holding it down.
I'm holding it down.
While the other remaining three fingers stay rigid. Okay, so you got a little gap in there, right?
Right.
So you got two fingers up top, ring fingers held down, and you got the pinky.
Absolutely, hey.
No one over the age of 25 knows what this means, but I guarantee you that 90% of college students know what this is.
Jamie, please.
This is what she says. As the New York article mentioned, the shocker is big on collegehumor.com. The site has all kinds of photos, including some with nudity, John.
Really?
Of people flashing the shocker. They've even got a shot of an actress who played Winnie Cooper on The Wonder Years. You remember Winnie?
Yeah.
Posing with some beefy goofballs as they flash the shocker.
Have you been to that site?
I have not been to that site, but we will post that site on our forum or somewhere. The Urban Dictionary website has an astonishingly comprehensive list of euphemisms for the shocker. But, John,
say that three times.
The basic theme is two in the and one in the rump.
Nice.
You got it? So that's where the shocker comes in. In medical terms, John, that would be two in the vagina and one in the anal canal.
Right.
So what this hand gesture means is what a guy is going to do to his woman. He's going to take the top two, put them in the vag, and the pinky will then go in the anal canal. And I think that's where the shocker part comes in. I think the top two, you don't have a shocker.
The shocker.
Like if you put your pinky down and you cover that too, that's not the shocker.
Right.
But you got the pinky out there, now it becomes the shocker. You know what I'm saying?
So they demonstrate it on the website?
Apparently they have photographs of people. I don't know if they demonstrate it, but they have people flashing the shocker.
Oh, I see. There's a picture
the symbol
right here.
Of the shocker.
It's a guy that's totally hammered. He's laying down, and they have used a Sharpie marker. And they've colored his entire body with purple, green, and black marker. And he's passed out.
And who's flashing the shocker?
His friend is flashing the shocker while he lays there.
Okay, so that's what they're going to do to him after
I guess
the photograph was taken?
Yeah.
Because you can't do it to a guy.
You can't?
Well, I mean, it would be shocking, but you would sprain your pinky, wouldn't you? Ow.
Oh, man.
Because where would you'd put the two in the sphincter, and then you'd hit your pinky on the taint.
Right.
No
doubt.
Yeah,
they're into coloring people. There's another guy who's totally... Oh, my God.
All right, so you got the shocker, so
his
watch out for that, folks.
So proud. I have to show these to my kids.
And if you do have teenage kids, flash them that symbol and see if they know what you're... just go, hey, what's up? And then give them the shocker and see what happens. I was thinking of telling Phil to go out on the street around a high school and ask the kids if they know what that means.
They knew what the shocker
was.
Yeah,
kind of a mobile interview for the Phil man.
Nice.
See if he's up to it.
That's nice.
Well, John, I found something also interesting about penile fractures.
Is it possible?
Well, this is from Cecil Adams, our favorite.
Oh, they got another kid on here duct taped to a chair. That's great.
And this is Cecil Adams. He's in the Chicago Reader. And somebody mailed a question, and they said, I was told by a local hospital, the nation's leading experts in penile fractures. This has me worried. How might it happen that I would, you know, break my Schwanz? Is this a hazard of everyday life? Are there any preventive measures I may take? So somebody went to the hospital. They saw a galley, a cackle of doctors that specialized in penile fractures.
Wow.
So Cecil responded. Cecil has heard about some stupid injuries in his day, but penile fractures takes the cake. Offhand, you'd think the penis would be immune to fracture, wouldn't you, John?
Right.
Since it contains no bones. It does get rigid, however, and things that get rigid can break. At risk are the corporal carcinosa, the two tube-like masses of tissue that run through the center of the penis. They become engorged with blood during sexual arousal and cause the penis to become erect. Each corpus carcinosa is covered with a fibrous sheath, which during erection gets stretched pretty thin, a sudden jolt in the wrong place, and you could pop like a balloon. In severe cases, the urethra, in which urine passes, and the outer sheath of the penis can also be damaged. Most men recognize their vulnerability and take appropriate precautions, but a few meatballs don't get it. As of 1985, John, now this article is from a while ago, there are 180 cases of penile fracture. About a third, fracture occurred as a result of what is called, and leave it to the French to have the expression for this, faux pas de cut.
Faux pas de cut.
Here are some typical cases. A 31-year-old man was having sexual relations approximately 1.5 hours before admission to the hospital. He missed the introitus and hit the perineum, the area behind his partner's genitals. And we know that as the taint, John.
Yeah, that's right.
Taint pussy, taint ass.
Right.
Causing his penis taint to fracture. Oh. Ow. So he was jabbing in the wrong spot.
Oh.
Another one, a 67-year-old minister, obviously taking the parable of the good seed to heart, was having intercourse when his penis rammed the mattress. He began to bleed profusely and experienced pain and swelling. Another one, a 26-year-old male experiencing sudden acute pain and prompt demicasinsness. During vigorous coital activity, the episode was associated with an audible cracking sound. His penis became grossly swollen. Other cases are just as goofy. Frequently, the victim suffers the injury while kneading his member in order to reduce an erection, a technique that, in my experience, usually has the opposite effect.
Ugh.
One moron, a potential Total Talk Nonsense listener, awoke during the night with a desire to urinate, whereupon he hit his erect penis with his hand in order to alleviate his desire. Other reported causes, rolling over in bed, hitting the bedpost, getting caught in your pajamas, falling out of a tree, being thrown against the knob of a motorcycle saddle, and so on. Get this, John. In the old days, treatment consisted of splitting, ice packs, insertion of a catheter, rest, augmented by drugs to suppress erection while the injury healed. However, such treatment sometimes resulted in permanent deformation and inhibited sexual performance.
I've heard of torture where they like shove a glass rod up your dick hole and then they snap it right in the middle.
I've never heard of that.
I don't know. I think Volpe told me about it.
Accordingly, many doctors today recommend repairing the damage surgically. Not a pleasant thing to watch, judging from the pictures. The operation is fairly straightforward, but there's obviously not much room for error. One thing's for sure. If this ever happens to you, make sure you get a surgeon who is more coordinated than you are, John.
That sounds like it hurts.
So there's a TTN public service announcement about penile fracture.
Penile snapping. Snapping of the penile instrument.
How are we doing on time there, John?
We're at 30 there, buddy.
Well, I have a couple other miscellaneous stories before we get into the W, our favorite topic.
The W. Yeah. What do you got there,
AOL.
Scotters?
Now, when I first got a computer, and we're talking the 286 Pentium days.
Wow, that's way back there, man.
I had the AOL. Did you ever have the AOL?
Oh, yeah.
And I had it for about 2 weeks, and what I did is I either sent some email or I tried to receive some email, and it got all jacked up. and I said F AOL, and I expunged it from my PC, and I've never had to deal with AOL again.
Oh,
how about you? You on AOL?
No,
never.
No. Yeah, I just said I've been on it
for how long?
A long time.
Were you a member?
Yeah.
When did you get rid of it, and why?
Yesterday.
Just yesterday.
Yeah.
Because?
No, I didn't. Not just yesterday. I had it quite some time.
I understand that. When did you get rid of it, and why?
Oh, you told me that it wouldn't look good on a resume.
I did?
Yeah. Don't ever.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
You're gonna get beat up.
You gave me a resume to review.
People's gonna beat you up.
And
man.
in your personal information, where you put your name, your address, and you put your email address, and it was an AOL account. And was the resume for an IT job?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. If it was for an IT job, I'd say, yeah, change that. Put some other email. Go create an email. Do not have AOL as an email. Because if you're going for a tech job and you have an AOL email, they will not even read the rest of your email.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, your resume.
Actually, we got rid of it because at the time they weren't offering any broadband service.
Right.
So we were going with at home. But for some reason, the wife wanted to keep it, and I said, let's get rid of this shit, you know.
Well, that's a good idea, John, because... $300 an hour. Do you know what that is? $300 an hour. That's the number of users AOL is losing.
Wow.
$300 an hour.
Really?
John, AOL has got problems. Even with a huge boost in ad revenues, the online service can't stop people from heading to the exits.
Wow.
For a business of any size to lose 678,000 customers in 3 months, which is $300 an hour, That's bad. Okay,
that's astounding.
You have to be doing something wrong. So AOL having some problems.
No doubt.
No doubt about
it. That's insane.
John,
yeah,
a woman
that's me.
Is
I'm
to
John.
Wed a man who held her hostage.
What?
A woman says she still plans to marry the man who shot her in the groin and then held her hostage in his family's garage for 6 days. Get this, John. Tina Marie Stebbins revealed her intentions in a letter released Monday as her boyfriend Christian Leroy Lindblad was sentenced to 20 years in prison for shooting her in March 2002. I love Christian today as deeply as I loved him before this awful thing happened to us. Stebbins wrote in the victim impact statement. We are soulmates, she added.
Excuse
I want
me.
To tell you that all I've... have forgiven Christian, and I pray that Christian has forgiven me for failing him when he needed me the most. Now get this whacked out woman's story here, John. Lindblad and his parents tried to cover up the shooting. Now remember, he shot her in the groin.
Oh,
they tried to cover
disgusting.
Up the shooting by treating Stebbins with home remedies, John. According to a San Bernardino County Sheriff's report, they also threatened her young sons and her family. Critically wounded, Stebbins was airlifted to a hospital after Leibland mentioned the incident to a family friend who was a firefighter.
You dipshit.
Leibland pleaded guilty to a charge of attempted murder as the trial was about to begin in early October. He has said the shooting was an accident. His father, Robert Leroy, pleaded guilty, and he's serving 3 years. His mother, Shirley Ronahan, was sentenced to 3 years probation for pleading guilty to the same charge. Now, what gives with that? Okay,
I don't know. What is with people?
So
man?
This guy shot this woman's groin. Then they didn't want to take her to the hospital. They held her hostage in the garage and tried to treat this groin gunshot wound with home remedies.
Right.
And the father and the mother both participated in the same manner and consistency. The father gets 3 years in prison. The mother gets 3 years probation. What's up with that?
I don't know.
If women want
That's
equal
so
rights,
screwy.
Why isn't that biatch in jail too?
Right.
Is what I want to know.
Right, right. For aiding and abetting.
For aiding and abetting.
Right. A felon, even though the felon was, or she was the victim of the felony. Right?
Okay, you're completely confused.
No, I'm not.
The mother helped
right
her son cover up the shooting of shooting his girlfriend in the groin.
Right.
And the girlfriend wants to marry the son.
Right.
Right.
I thought you were talking about the girlfriend should go to jail.
I did not. No, I was not talking about the girlfriend.
Both cases, aiding and abetting. Because the girlfriend helped out, too.
How did the girlfriend help out? Didn't she was shot in the groin.
She's not dead.
She's not dead.
But that's she how was, she helped out.
She was held hostage.
Are you listening? Do you even pay attention to your own crap?
I listen to my own crap.
You don't. You don't listen.
I do listen.
You're not. You just yap, 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 and you don't even listen to it.
I do.
I listened. And she was in the garage.
Yes.
And they were, like, helping her out with, like, natural remedies, like creams and ointments and stuff.
Okay.
So she was helping out. She wasn't crying out and screaming and all that stuff. She was sitting there and being a good patient and, like, you know, hey.
Okay, you must have missed this part where they threatened her and they threatened her family.
Oh. Yeah, but that's, like, you know, when we get called Kents and stuff like that. It's
Kents,
a term of endearment.
Septics? Oh, yeah, that's a term of endearment.
He loved her.
Shut your fucking face, you bitch, or I'm going to go and kill your mom and dad and your brothers and sisters because I just shot you in the fucking groin.
You're so sweet.
Yeah.
That's what
it must be.
It is.
Yeah. So who's not listening?
I don't know. I'm listening. What are you talking about?
All right, I got one more story.
Oh, my Lord.
About parents killing people. No. This one's about a teen charged with killing girls' parents. And this is interesting. But this is interesting to me, John, and here's why. This 18-year-old Pennsylvania man is accused of killing the parents of his 14-year-old girlfriend and fleeing with her to Indiana.
Fleeing or fling?
Fleeing with her to Indiana. Police, and the guy's name was David Ludwig. Police have said they are still investigating the circumstances to determine whether the girl was kidnapped by Ludwig or fled with him willingly. All right, now here's where it gets good, John. Well, not yet. Hold on. It's going to get good in a little bit. But the police noticed that through evidence, the couple had been dating since May. A close friend of Ludwig's told investigators Monday that he was well aware that Ludwig and Kara Bowden were involved in an ongoing secret intimate relationship of a sexual nature, John. The 19-year-old friend said he spoke to Ludwig about the relationship. The friend also told investigators that Ludwig and Bowden often communicated via instant messaging and text messaging on the internet. Their communication, according to the affidavit, included flirtatious messages. Flirtatious messages, as well as inappropriate images of one another via various electronic media. All right, so they're snapping shots of their genitals and sending them back and forth. But here's where it gets good, John. Each had their own website. Borden's talked about attending prayer groups and her interest in soccer and babysitting. On his site, Ludwig quoted lyrics from a Christian rock band and discussed his affinity for computers and volleyball.
Great. Oh, was I supposed to clap or something? Like 13 seconds of silence.
The investigators they had not heard whether the two had a sexual relationship, but if later on down the line the detectives in my unit find out that there was some kind of illegal activity going on sexually, those charges will be added. Okay, so they did catch this guy, and they caught the girl. They charged the guy. The girl is free to go for whatever reason. But John,
yeah,
Borden's website talked about attending prayer groups. Ludwig's website quoted lyrics from a Christian rock band. So there's murders every day in America.
Yeah, right.
And a small percentage of those happen after a person plays a video game. Or maybe not even after. They just own this video game.
Right.
That's Grand Theft Auto or whatever. So the crime happens and the lawyers say, oh, it's not the alleged criminal's fault. It's the video game's fault. Now, why aren't they saying, well, it's not Ludwig's fault. It's his affinity for quoted lyrics from Christian rock bands. Why isn't
That's
Christianity being targeted?
Good
and
point.
She, the woman, was attending prayer groups. So why isn't Christianity being held responsible
well,
for these murders?
You know, the next time something like that happens and they bring up like Marilyn Manson, they're going to pull this story right out of the paper.
I hope so.
And say, oh, wait a minute. What about this? Oh, well, that's different.
I object,
right.
Right.
I do too.
I object,
you know
John.
What, Scott?
Yeah.
We're out of time.
Oh.
We got to run. We got to run to part three.
All right.
So that's all the time we have for
I'll race you.
Part two. We'll be back with part three. That's where the wheels come right off, man. All right.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for... Part three.
Just one last quick way.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.